Genesis that tell about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These were God-fearing men, and by studying about them, we can learn much by observing how they lived before God. We can also study some things that we should not do by looking at some of the mistakes they made. And they did make mistakes. They were men who were subject to the same temptations and the same desires as we are today. And they did make mistakes. One such incident is in Genesis 27. Now, you may remember, I'm sure you do, that Isaac was about to bless Esau, who was the oldest son. Isaac told Esau to go into the field and get some game and bring it back and prepare it for him. And then he, Isaac, would give him the blessing. Well, Rebekah wanted Jacob to get the blessing because that was her favorite son. She wanted Jacob to get the blessing. So we pick up in verse 5 of Genesis 27. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went into the field to hunt for the game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me some game and prepare a delicious meal for me, so that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' So now, my son," she was telling him, "listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me two choice young goats from there, so that I may prepare them as a delicious meal for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death." But Jacob said to his mother, Rebekah, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will touch me, and then I will be a deceiver in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get the goats for me." "Your curse be on me," that's what she said. Well, it doesn't work that way, does it? We can't transfer the consequences of what we do to someone else, even if they are volunteering to do that. And do you think Jacob knew what he was doing was wrong? I think that he did. But back to the transferring of consequences. Ezekiel 18:20 said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Well, that's the rule. Curses or consequences are not transferable. Of course, we know that. Someone can't transfer the consequences of their bad actions to someone else. But we can get bad advice sometimes without an offer of someone else taking the blame. And that's the way it usually is, isn't it, when we get bad advice? But there's almost an implication when somebody tells that, "Hey, man, you do this, and if you run into trouble, I'll be there for you. If you just take my advice." Well, there may be an implicit of someone doing that, but it does not happen. And that advice, that bad advice, may be tempting to take if it's something if it's something we want to hear. If it's something we really want to hear, it may be tempting to take that. But I will tell you this: I've taken bad advice, and I finally figured out that when it was time to pay the consequences, it gets mighty lonely. It gets really lonely. That person who gave you the bad advice is not there. You're there by yourself. When I act on bad information, it is me who pays the consequences, not someone else. And when you act on bad information, it's you that pay the consequences, not someone else. Don't be expecting the person that gave you the bad information to be there as an advocate for you, because that won't happen. They won't be there. Sometimes, though, however, we are fooled into thinking that something that is contrary to God's commands may be all right. And sometimes we may think it's even approved by God the way it is presented to us. And it's so tempted, just to so easy to accept bad information when it's something that we think that's going to work to our good. I can just hear Rebecca now saying to Jacob, "Jacob, this blessing will be for your own good. You already have the birthright that you purchased from Esau for a bowl of lentil soup. Now you can have the blessing also. It will be so good for your future. And I'm sure that you will use it much better than that short-sighted brother, Esau." We might also ask, well, who is this that's giving me advice? We get advice. Who is giving me advice? Is it an angel from heaven? Galatians 1 and 8 says, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any gospel, any other gospel unto you than that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Now, I don't know of an incident in the Bible where an angel actually lied. I do know an incident where in 1 Kings 13:18, it tells about a prophet who lied, and I'm sure there were others. But Satan lies, and sometimes he professes to be an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. So be careful when you're taking advice from someone. We may be getting advice from Satan. Much bad advice, though, comes about, I think, just from somebody maybe not deliberately trying to twist the truth or make it something that it's not, but someone who's just careless with the facts. We need to always go to God's Word as a source for the information. The information that we act on, we need to go to God's Word for that source. And young people, has anybody ever told you that you need to sow your wild oats while you're young? Get it out of your system now so that later on you can settle down? That's bad advice. Galatians 6:7 said, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." Ecclesiastes 12:1 also says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." And no matter how old you are, you're younger today than you're going to be tomorrow if you live. But this is good advice from God, from the Scripture. What about God wants you to be happy, so do what makes you happy? Bad advice. Jeremiah 10:1 says, "I know, Lord, that a person's way is not in himself, nor is it in a person who walks to direct his steps." In Psalms 32, we read that the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in them. We cannot transfer the consequences of what we do, and we need to be sure where we're getting information from. We can have the curse of death removed from us, though, because Jesus has taken that upon himself when he gave himself for our sins. We can do that. That won't transfer the consequences that we may have to live with. But if we obey him, we can have that curse, the curse of spiritual death, transferred from us. And if you're to the point that you know that through faith that you should obey the Lord by repenting, confessing his name, and being buried with him in baptism, don't put it off because of bad advice. It's your future. You need to act what's good for you. Make the decision what's good for you. And tonight, if you're subject to the invitation in any way, come now while we stand and sing.